John 13:31. After Judas had left, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man's glory is revealed. Now God's glory is revealed through him. And if God's glory is revealed through him, then God will reveal the glory in the Son of Man in himself, and he will do so at once. My children, I shall not be with you very much longer. You will look for me, but I tell you now what I told the Jewish authorities. You cannot go where I am going. And now I will give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. If you have love for one another, then everyone will know that you are my disciples."
From Acts 11. The apostles and the other believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. When Peter went to Jerusalem, those who were in favor of circumcising Gentiles criticized him, saying, "You were a guest in the home of the uncircumcised Gentiles, and you even ate with them?" So Peter gave them a complete account of what had happened from the very beginning. "While I was praying in the city of Joppa, I had a vision. I saw something coming down that looked like a large sheet being lowered by its four corners from heaven, and it stopped next to me. I looked closely inside and saw domesticated and wild animals, reptiles and wild birds. And then I heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'Certainly not, Lord. No ritually unclean or defiled food has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke again from heaven, 'Do not consider anything unclean that God has declared clean.' This happened three times, and finally the whole thing was drawn back up into heaven. At that very moment, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to go with them without hesitation. These six fellow believers from Joppa accompanied me to Caesarea, and we all went into the house of Cornelius. He told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house who had said to him, 'Send someone to Joppa for a man whose full name is Simon Peter. He will speak words to you by which you and all your family will be saved.' And when I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came down on them just as on us at the beginning. And then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' It is clear that God gave those Gentiles the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was I then to try and stop God?" When they heard this, they stopped their criticism and praised God, saying, "Then God has given to the Gentiles also the opportunity to repent and live." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
My mother tells the story when she was a little girl, probably first or second grade. She went up to the librarian and said, "Excuse me, ma'am, I have read all the books in the library. Do you have any more books for me to read?" And so the librarian took her by the hand and led her out of the children's reading room and into the main reading room of the Carnegie Library. And her eyes got wide and her mouth dropped open, and she knew she had a lot of reading to do. Our scripture today tells the story of just such an eye-opening experience for the early church. And we also get to eavesdrop on Jesus and his disciples. The passage from John begins moments after Judas had left the table to betray Christ. And Jesus turns to his disciples with a new commandment: "Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another." Just as I have loved you, love one another. What does that even mean? Does it mean play nice and like each other? Does it mean pretend to like each other even when you don't? Does it mean love other people just like you? I think the only way we can begin to understand what Jesus was trying to say is to look at the ways that Jesus loved. If you walk through one of the Gospels, you will find, as I did, lots of examples. When Jesus loved, he saw the potential in people who didn't see it in themselves. When Jesus loved, he took the time to talk one-on-one about the most important things. When Jesus loved, he practiced forgiveness and encouragement for those who had sinned. When Jesus loved, he took care of the sick and the hungry. When Jesus loved, he challenged people to grow and to think for themselves. When Jesus loved, he held people accountable for what they said they believed. When Jesus loved, he grieved with those who grieve. When Jesus loved, he ate and drank with both the movers and shakers and the social outcast. When Jesus loved, he accepted another person's ministry to him. When Jesus loved, he got down on his knees and served his friends. When Jesus loved, he got down on his knees and prayed for his friends. When Jesus loved, he took up the cross and died for his friends for all time. But back at that moment when Jesus first says, love one another, good old Peter says, Jesus, are you going someplace? And Jesus, I think, did what I call the disciple head slap. Yes, that's what I've been telling you for the past 3 years. I'm going. And then here he says, and you can't go there now, but you will. This reminds me in a strange way of young Luke Skywalker telling the Master Yoda, I'm not afraid. And Yoda says, you will be. Peter says, I'll go with you all the way. And Jesus says, really? You won't even make it till morning before you deny me 3 times. Of course, Peter does deny Jesus and is crushed by his failure, and he's not even there at the foot of the cross when he dies. But the Gospel of John ends with another one-on-one conversation between Jesus and Peter. Jesus says to him, Simon Barjona, his given name, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my lambs. A second time he says, Simon Barjona, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus says, tend my sheep. He says to him the third time, Simon Barjona, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because he said back to Jesus the third time, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. When Jesus loved, he restored his failed friend by giving him the opportunity to love like Jesus again. I spend that time on the story of Peter in the Gospel of John because it's this same Peter who gets in trouble in the book of Acts. By now, Jesus has returned to heaven. The Holy Spirit has filled the disciples at Pentecost. The message of the cross is spreading like wildfire, among the Jews of Palestine. Peter's one of the disciples, now called apostles, who are spreading that word, healing the sick and even raising the dead. Now you can read the detailed account of what happened with Peter and Cornelius in Acts 10. What we have in Acts 11 is Peter's testimony, when he's called in to explain what happened. You see, at this point, all the believers were Jewish. They were still following the Jewish traditions. They had never known a follower of Jesus who was not Jewish. So to hear that Cornelius, a Roman soldier who loved God and tried to love others, this Gentile had been filled with the Spirit and baptized by Peter, along with all those from his house, was shocking beyond belief. So they call Peter in to explain himself, and they ask, "Why did you baptize these non-Jews?" Nope, that's not what they asked. Nor did they ask, "How could the Holy Spirit fill people who are not children of Abraham?" Nope, they didn't ask that either. They asked, "How could you eat with those people?" They get word of a great revival in the port of Caesarea, and their biggest concern is that Peter is hanging around with the wrong kind of people and eating the wrong kind of food. So Peter tells the story of going up on the roof and praying before dinner time and falling asleep and having a really strange dream. If it had been after dinner, we would think it was indigestion. He dreams this great sheet comes down filled with all sorts of animals, like rabbits and pigs and camels and eagles and swans and pelicans and storks and mice and lizard and probably some crab and shrimp and lobster. All those things that they were forbidden from eating, all those things that keep me from being Jewish, all are forbidden to eat in the Jewish scripture. But the voice of God says, "Get up, kill, and eat." Only Peter would try to explain kosher to God. "No, Lord, nothing like that has ever passed through my mouth. Nothing profane or unclean has entered my mouth." And God answers, "What God has made clean, you must not call unclean." Peter must have thought it was a test to see if he was still a good Jew. A test, asking the same question three times, given the same answer three times, just like, oh. There was a knock at the door. He wakes up. Three men from Caesarea are at the door, and they tell their story. The light bulb comes on, and he gets it. There's no difference between them and me. God made us all. He remembers Jesus saying, "All are like sheep and have gone astray. Feed my sheep." He goes to Cornelius' house and tells the story of Jesus in a long sermon that you can read in Acts 10 if you want to. But before he even gets done, revival breaks out. The Holy Spirit fills all those non-Jews just like it did the Jewish people in Jerusalem. And Peter baptizes them all. He tells his critics, "If then God gave them the same gift he gave us when we believed, who was I that I would hinder God?" They're dumbfounded. God has broken down the wall between Jews and Gentiles without asking them. So why is this passage important to us? I was talking with a friend this week, telling them that I had read that this passage was perhaps second only to the resurrection in importance, because without this moment in history, we would all still be Jews. And the person I was talking to had a real funny look on their face and smiled and said, "For a minute there, I thought you said screwed." There's some truth to that, too. If the way of Christ had been limited only to those who were Jews or willing to become Jewish and follow all the laws and traditions of that faith, then we would probably not be here today. The faith would never have spread as far or as fast as it did, and we would know nothing of God's grace. But the truth of this passage also gets very personal. First, God is preparing us for whatever He calls us to do, even when we don't understand it at the time. God is preparing us for whatever He calls us to do, even when we don't understand it at the time. Sometimes when we're going through life, we are as confused as Peter when he saw that blanket full of animals coming down out of the sky. Our world is turned upside down. We don't know which way is up. We can't understand why. We just don't know what to do. And this strange thing happens, and sometimes it's a fresh word from God, and sometimes it's the consequences of our actions or the actions of somebody else. But however this strange thing unfolds, God is using it all to shape us into the person that God needs us to be, if we let Him. 31 years ago, yes, at about this time, and I've told some of you this story before, I was getting ready to go be the campus minister intern at University of Virginia. It was my dream job. I had visited UVA when I was a kid and thought it was the most beautiful place on the planet, and I was going to get to go there and be a campus minister, and that was just going to set me up to be there at that great place. And I got a call at the end of April, and they had lost their funding for their internship. Now, if you've ever been in that internship game, at the end of April, it's over. All the internships have gone. And so the coordinators of the program were calling people and trying to make contacts, and finally they said, well, there's one opening. It's at Western Carolina University in Cullowhee. And I said, Cullowhee? I've driven through Silva, but I never made it all the way over to Cullowhee. So yes, go down, meet the campus minister, and see if you think it'll work. So went down and met with the campus minister, and he wanted some of the things that I was able to do. And because I'd done some construction work the year before as a summer missionary, I was able to do lead mission teams, and that was kind of the work they wanted me to do there. And so I said, okay, God, this must be what you want. It's not University of Virginia, but I'll go. And while I was there, I met this pastor who was at the church next door, a guy named Joe Yelton. We became friends. And because I'd had experience at a mountain campus a few years later when I was looking for another job, when I finished school, they called me to be at Marshall University, which was another mountain campus. And because I was at a mountain campus a few years later when a church in Asheville wanted somebody to come and be a minister there, they said, there's somebody who knows and understands this culture. I can be there. And a few years later, when I needed to go somewhere else, I was able to call somebody named Joe Yelton and say, y'all are hiring somebody? I was crushed that day in late April. But looking back, every one of the experiences that followed from that, God used. He didn't have to make them all happen, but He used every single experience to prepare me. So God prepares us for whatever He calls us to do. Two, God uses experience and relationships to take us beyond our set beliefs. God uses experiences to take us beyond our set beliefs. Peter knew the law. Peter knew the kosher law. He knew the scriptures. He knew the rules about eating with people who did not follow kosher rules. He knew exactly what his faith told him he had to do. But when he went into the home of Cornelius, he saw people who were hungry for Christ. He saw people who were trying to do the right thing but just didn't know what to call it. And he saw God at work in a place that he didn't even think God went. And Peter remembered all that he experienced with Jesus and knew that he was not about to get in God's way. when we encounter a new expression of faith, it is good to look back to what we know about God, what we know about Scripture. But instead of looking for reasons that this can't be of God, we should ask, how does this new thing remind us of God and who He is and how He works? If there's nothing of God in it, then we should steer clear. But if we step back, we might just see God do a new thing that we never thought possible. I remember taking a student from Western Carolina University to a mission conference in Louisville, Kentucky. And it just so happened that the keynote preacher that morning was a female preacher from Louisville, who just so happened to be one of the best preachers in the country at the time. I didn't tell him that. So after the service, poor old Rick, who was from North Wilkesboro and had a pretty set view about how the way the world worked, came over to me and said, "Well, if that's a woman preacher, that's all right by me." He had heard all his life there was no such thing as a woman preacher. Those two things were mutually exclusive, could not happen. And yet he had experienced it, and he had been touched by God through this woman who spoke. And he was open to letting God teach him through that experience. Third thing, God has no favorites. God's love is always breaking down barriers in unexpected ways. This was the new thing that was being revealed to Peter and the church at Jerusalem too. But it was a hard lesson to learn. Notice that Peter's critics say at the end, God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life. Even them, even they, boy, even those folks can get saved. But you notice they didn't say, when can we go have dinner with Cornelius? They weren't there yet. And the issue would rise again in the early church when Paul began to preach to the Gentiles. They called him on the carpet again and had him come back, and they had to have a big conference and figure it out how we were going to proceed and make sure that everybody got treated like Christians in the same. And even later, Peter got called on the carpet by Paul, because Peter had been hanging out with some of his Jewish Christian buddies, and his Gentile Christian friends came along and said, "Hey, Peter, let's go out to eat." And he said, "Oh, just like we do when we're with one set of friends and we meet the other set of friends and we pretend we don't know them." Peter fell into that trap too. Our prejudices die hard. Our desire to fit in with the people we came with dies hard. We learn our prejudices at the feet of people that we love. And they're reinforced by people we grow up with, the people that we work with, the people that surround us day in and day out. And as human beings, we find our identity with being with people like us. But what we're forgetting is the greatest people, the greatest group, the largest group of people like us are sinners who've fallen short of the glory of God. That's what we really have in common with everybody. So we are sinners who've been redeemed, like Peter, taken aside by Jesus and said, "Do you love me?" and given a chance, an opportunity to redeem ourselves through ministry and service and love for others. Peter could have stuck with what he knew, that he had failed Jesus when it counted most. He knew that. That only Jews who ate kosher could follow God. He knew that. That the Holy Spirit had already come on the people he was going to come on. Yeah, he knew that. Or he could open himself to the amazing and unexpected power of God's love, God's love beyond all belief, beyond all sets of beliefs, and learn to love those other people too. Who is God calling you to love? Is it yourself after failing miserably at doing the right thing? Is it your brothers and sisters in the family of faith who have disappointed you? Is it a person or a group of people that you thought were beyond God's love? Whoever God calls us to love, God prepares us to love. But we have to be willing to recognize God's answer to our prayers, however strangely it may come, even if it means loving those other people too. Let's pray. Lord God, you have taught us how to love. You have shown us how to love through Jesus Christ, your Son. Help us to be open to loving your children that you loved enough to die for. Help us to love ourselves when we don't feel like we can. Help us to love each other in a way that shows the world it can be done. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.